Hello and welcome to Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jessica.
I still want to be Caitlin.
All right, fine. And today we're discussing Season 3, Episode 3 of Girl Meets World, entitled Girl Meets Jessica.
Sidetrack.
All right, grading. How do we feel? Well, let Keith start off this week.
Okay. Oh, really? You want to do that?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this may surprise a lot of you.
He has a soul.
I think that I'm going to give this episode an A.
Wow.
Because I think that it was really funny.
Yeah.
The lighting was great. A lot of the cinematography was great. They used the sets really well. A lot of the problems that I foresaw in the hallway set that I was worried about having seen the last two episodes, I feel a lot better about them now because I see how they're getting much more interesting intersecting angles, and you're closed up on different parts of the hallway set. And they're using it well. That whole forehead glare from the halogen lamps is gone. They've got nice, natural-looking lighting. Jokes are super on point. Funny episode. Good, a lot of good funny moments. Just like all the characters were used well. Even the B plot worked out good. So I mean, it's a good episode. The only thing for me that holds it back from being an A+ is, even though it technically is a more filler episode, the message, it wasn't super serious. They did, I think, do a good job, but I think they could have taken that a little bit more with the actual message.
Yeah.
Caitlin, do you
want to go, Caitlin?
Okay. I'm also going to give this episode an A. I think that it was just, you know, across the board in all the categories, a really good episode. It was directed really well. I'm really grateful for Ryder and Shiloh's existence and coming in season 3. I wish they had been there for the first two.
They saved the day.
Yeah, I know. They saved the season. Let's be real. I also really have high hopes for this new writer, Mackenzie Yeager. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm. And I want to see a lot more from her. Jessica's my new idol. You're going to see a lot more of that from me, I think.
Oh my god, Jessica is so cool.
Jessica, you're so cool.
Yeah, really fun. All right, are you going?
I went to summer camp with her.
We all did, let's be honest. All right, can I go?
What does that mean?
Can I go?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, so funnily enough, I'm giving it an A-.
Oh my god, damn.
So okay.
Plot twist.
Bite your tongue.
I really, really liked the episode. I think funniest episode in quite some time. Maybe the funniest episode ever.
I think it probably is the funniest episode ever.
Like, yeah, like I straight up was laughing throughout the entire thing. Nothing really didn't hit home. The actors, like even the ones that I don't always connect with, did really well. I think that Topanga was the most Topanga that she's been in a long time. I was really happy to have a Cory and Topanga plot, and Augie did a great job
there. I love how Topanga is an adjective now.
Yeah. Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure that Mackenzie is just a youngish, like maybe a little older than us, maybe our age, fan.
Yeah.
Who was lucky enough to get a job.
Yeah.
Not just on the show, just I mean a job, guys. The job market's really hard right now.
You're either so loud or so quiet.
So
no cares.
Yeah, okay, so I really liked a lot of choices here. I think that I really liked how focused the episode was on Riley and Maya, and so it felt like there was a focus.
Yeah.
But we still had nice little things. There was a couple little things from Farkle. Lucas had his moment at the end, but Zay also...
His moment.
Oh my god. Can he just have his moment so we can stop making that joke? Zay was a real standout to me this episode comedically. I think they used him really well. They fleshed him out with a little fun comedy. And I like he's like on the road to being like my spirit animal. Like,
Zay, I'll watch The Notebook with you.
Yeah, I mean, that was really great.
That love never dies.
I've got to say, there have been episodes which I've been happy with Zay in. But I think this is the first episode that I can say 100% I'm on board.
Yeah.
With Zay here.
You don't have to. We won't put him in a shipbox to Amazon. What am I saying?
A shipbox. By the way, it's 2:30 a.m., so I apologize. All right. So the one thing. So the reason I gave an A- is that I think...
You have no soul.
I have no soul. I think that it felt like I liked both plots, but I almost feel like the B plot got a little bit too much time, because I wanted a little bit more about...
Jexica.
And the persona itself.
Yeah, why people liked her, why she was cool, especially because there was one point that kind of stuck out to me where... Lucas was saying, oh, Jexica, I really like that she loves cotton candy and unicorns. Yeah,
she wants
and stuff.
To ride a unicorn while eating cotton candy.
And like I was kind of like, and so I'm also just getting a little confused. Maybe if I ever watch it again, I'll be clarified. But I thought that in some way, I'm unclear whether Jexica is supposed to be the cool version of Riley or just Riley with blue hair.
So Riley with blue hair.
My understanding is the name Jexica comes from her pretend time.
Yeah.
And that's where the features come from. But the actual...
Riley Town. Jexica is a permanent resident of Riley Town.
I believe that's the case. But I think the actual things that were on the profile was literally, they said, just write down the things you're going to write anyways, but give it a different name so you're not worried about the social backlash.
See, so that part of it I don't like, to be honest.
Because you want it to be more exotic?
Because I wanted it to be, exotic. Like, what he thinks of as cool, and that was appealing to people. Because let's be honest, that, if it really was just Riley, then people wouldn't think that was cool. They wouldn't be like, oh, this person's so great. They love cotton candy.
She's such a free spirit.
And especially because I was thinking, I thought the part of the reason why she, like, was insecure and wanted to stand out was because she's in this new school with older people. And especially older people wouldn't be like, oh, she loves unicorns. You know?
I love unicorns.
But she wouldn't be like a big hit.
She's like... kawaii goth. I think that there is a certain...
I think there's a way that...
There's a respect level for the sort of almost ironic thing that's not quite ironic, that has this kind of kawaii stuff, but then it brings it somewhere, but it doesn't have to.
I just wish that we got a little bit more of, like, what he put in the profile, what he said, her advice he gave that made people think he was, like, what he... did specifically. Was it just that she had blue hair? And I'm still a little unclear on, like, how people even knew that she had blue hair. Like, was that drawing her profile picture? Or
did they have a physical description?
Yeah.
It's a weird concept. I'm trying to wrap my mind fully around this high school social media thing.
Yeah.
Because people were saying, like, oh, Jexica speaks, like, says everything that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, like, are they posting statuses?
Yeah, that's what I assume, but it's a little vague.
And, like, they have the ability to message each other and things like that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see at least one scene of Riley making some weird commentary and then, oh, I'm writing that down now.
Yeah.
And then that becomes what we think of, the girl being like, oh, she knows, she gets me, you know.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. And I agree that's what kept me from the A+, is that the message, if they had gone into more specifics, either on the top end or the bottom end of it, they could have really gotten a lot.
Well, to me, it's like, I think it's a very funny episode, and I think that the message is actually good. It's just, I think that there, it could have been even, like, things could have been even better. So, I mean, I'll go through, and there'll be a little things here and there that I say that I am sort of critical about, but at the end of the day, that's kind of just so that we have things to talk about here other than discussing. I still think it's a really solid episode, and I'm really happy. I hope this is what the season's like, not like the first two episodes.
Remember, kids, a good episode means a bad podcast.
We're never going to give you a podcast where we just say everything we like with nothing. Even if we did like everything, we'll say we don't like it, just for fun.
All right, so, scene one. like you were saying, great lighting, nice little angle of them sitting on the hallway.
The distance covered between this open use of the hallway and the beginning of part one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's an entirely different show.
Yeah, it was really good. And it's just, it really does, like... I don't know, just having six people in a scene is just too many. Having just these two people sitting...
I just realized Smackle wasn't in it.
Yeah, Smackle wasn't in it. But just having two people talking. Yeah,
when you're zoomed far out and you see everything and you see the flaws of the set.
Yeah.
Maya Penelope Hart.
Yeah,
she's embracing her not that bad of a middle name.
I always liked that was like a weird thing she was insecure about, though. I like, so Maya's gonna have five marriages. And I actually did
one of them's Yogi.
I did enjoy the Farkle 6 week, Farkle 6 weeks, may rest in peace, yeah. And the, at least the boy died happy thing.
Yeah, I mean, the jokes were just so spot on. Yeah. It's like one after another, just one after another.
And to me, it's like, this is so far removed now from Farkle of season one, that I'm able to enjoy this joke, as opposed to I might not have been able to, especially when he himself didn't do anything in this episode.
Right.
You know? So I was able to let that go. So she's using this.
And the fact that he doesn't also know that
he's
going to be married and then dead 6 weeks later. That's just a weird fantasy thing.
Because it's true, because Maya is a fortune teller now. Oh, not Maya, Riley.
This was also an episode that I really related to on a lot of little points. And, like, even this point about talking about your five marriages and stuff, I mean, I remember...
When you were married five times.
Oh, obviously. I don't think you were there, but there was a day that I was hanging out...
Was married five times.
It was a really quick day.
There was a day I was hanging out with my friends at the park, and we were talking about 20 years from now, where will everybody be? Yeah. And we came up with this whole convoluted storyline where, like, 10 years in, there was a war, and then the fallout of the war, and then who was married and what their jobs were. And it's like, yeah, so, like...
Did I come up?
I think you did. I'm trying to remember what you were doing. I can't remember.
You were the war.
I think...
Nice.
Keith was a reverend.
What?
Reverends can be married.
Yeah.
I also cannot see Keith as a reverend.
Like, the kind of reverend from, like, those westerns where they have, like, a big rifle that comes out of the jacket.
Or, like, from Firefly.
Yeah.
Something. I do want to talk about...
Firefly.
No.
And how that character was the least developed only because it got canceled. And there was obviously a backstory waiting
to come
out.
The comic book he has some stuff. Yeah. Riley can't think of her interests. Now, I wasn't sure.
Meta alert!
I wasn't sure if this was supposed to be meta.
Oh, def.
But it was funny, but it also was like, it would be nice if he listed some interests here so we could find out what they were.
Damn, it's all in the pilot.
All in the pilot.
I still wanted to be an anime nerd.
I mean, she seems like maybe she is, but we can't really tell for sure.
Mackenzie Yeager, hear us out.
So, if you were writing fanfic, who do you think Riley's favorite Sailor Scout is?
Oh, okay, let me think real quick. So, I think she would most identify with Sailor Moon / Usagi. I think that she would be most sympathetic towards Sailor Saturn and would want to save her and would want to be best friends with Chibi Moon. And I think that she would think that Sailor Mars and Sailor Neptune are really cool and would want to be just like them, but she won't be.
Are any of them farm animals who save the day?
Have three cats.
Because that is one of her interests.
They have three cats.
How great would it be if they did...
Oh my. Can you just finish your sentence?
You know what? Let's see if she knows what I'm going to say.
Go ahead. Sailor Moon parody?
No.
Damocles.
An episode where she's late for school and she's running with a toast in her mouth.
That would also be fantastic. I was picturing Lucas in a Sailor Scout uniform.
That's true.
So... You didn't know that you're talking about things people don't even know about.
I have to pause it only because Lucas as Tuxedo Mask would be hilarious.
Oh my god, you are correct, sir.
But Riley is the least dramatic person who has ever roamed the face of the earth.
Obvi.
Same.
Very, this is all great humor. Very good. Then we have the look behind you. Very good. I like that. I also like that we get a little bit of hints of Maya liking horror stuff. I feel like we've heard little hints of this before, too.
Yeah, the banter between the girls is so great, because we have here for the first time banter that gets a little bit, not aggressive, but like a little mean.
Yeah.
A little bit mean, sassy. But like in a good way. Yeah. Like, it's like they're not...
Like how we're mean to each other?
Yeah.
It's like, they're not... It doesn't feel super kid gloves. It feels like...
Maya called her a Nimrod.
Yeah, exactly. Maya called her a Nimrod. Like, that's, like, great.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, that feels so real. Like, you know these girls would act like that.
Yeah. And that it's nice when we get stuff like that, and it's in no way connected with the triangle, too. So right. There's not even the air of, oh, are they sniping at each other?
It's just chemistry.
Yeah, being catty? Yeah. No, they're just
It's just good chemistry.
Yeah, and this was a very good scene because it was setting up the premise, but it also was one of the most natural just hanging out and doing something that teenagers do. Right.
Because they're distracted while they're doing it.
And they had laptops.
Yeah.
Which was, like, normal.
Yeah, very good.
Laptops, and she's drawing, so, like,
wait a minute, where did Maya get that laptop?
Corey bought it for her after he bought the cell phone.
That we never saw ever again.
Nope.
Yeah. Why don't people text? Why don't they text?
So we move on to the boys debating movies. We get the great Notebook, Love Never Dies, Celine Dion thing. Zay, I feel you. I remember in high school when I loved the Notebook. Good times.
As if you don't still love it.
I mean, I haven't seen it in ages, but I'm sure that I still love
it. Dan, let's watch the Notebook after this podcast.
Okay, that sounds... We can do a Notebook podcast.
It's
a pretty long movie.
It's not that long of a movie, unless you're doing a project on it and...
You did a project on the Notebook?
Yeah, for my humanities class, and because we kept having to, like, stop and look for symbolism and all these other different things, it ended up, like, okay, stop.
Notebook is overflowing.
The color red is really important in that movie. I'm just gonna say
that's when Lucas gets mad.
And so we ended up watching that movie for, like, 5 hours.
I mean, I really need more of this Zay being into girly stuff, because this is my life, and I need representation, goddammit.
Actually, I became friends with one of my really close friends in college because of the Notebook.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of the Notebook.
And you became friends with me because of Secret Life of the American, whatever that was called. What was it called?
Secret Life of the American Teenager?
The best part is the final word that you couldn't quite grasp
was teenager.
Was the most obvious and simple one.
I mean, and also, that's not how we became friends.
I mean, that's kind of, that was part of how we became. Like,
I guess so. You were creepy in the beginning.
Our individual relationship without Keith, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. You know.
Sans Keith. So Riley had an alter ego. Once again, a thing that I can relate to. I was Ryan Flynn.
You were a weird kid.
I had an army jacket, much like Jessica, and it said Flynn, and that's because it was like an old army jacket.
I'm trying to remember. Where did Chris's...
Chris's dad had a surplus army store.
And he got you a jacket.
Chris is one of their friends from high school.
No, he's just a guy.
He's one of the guys from high school.
Yeah. He's one of the five guys we know.
Yeah. And so he gave me this jacket that said Flynn on it, and I had already had alter ego of Ryan, because my parents had told me at one point that they had thought about calling me Ryan, and I was like, I like the name Ryan.
Did they ever think that you were going to be a girl, and if so, what was your name going
to
be?
Well, my sister wanted me to be named Ariel, because she loved The Little Mermaid and was, like, 5 at the time. They have that on video, actually, the day I was born. She's like, I want him to be named Ariel.
Wow, that was weird.
That's a good sister impression.
I'm telling Maria. If I was a boy, I think my name was going to be William Edward.
Wow. If I was a boy.
Terrible.
Edward.
All right. What was your name going to be,
Edward Enigma.
That sounds like a
I was gonna
Welsh
be,
prince.
Well, I was going to be named after my great-grandfather, and I'm Welsh on that side of the family.
So, Jessica... It's Xier.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great joke.
Jexy!
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like...
It's so MySpacey.
First of all, the name was great pick. First of all, like, that, like, having... Being, like...
Two first of alls?
Yes. Also, it's very Riley to say
we're never
that.
We're gonna get to number two.
It's very Riley to say that in general, but it's also, like, the weird, like, sexy connotation. I kind of enjoyed the double entendre-ishness there. That was fun. Thoughts. Moving on.
Wow. Super awkward.
Well, you didn't say anything.
What left was there to say?
Dan's not doing well.
Riley didn't need Jessica after Maya. Aww.
Aww.
This is Raya. All... I mean, I'm just recounting what happened because I don't have anything to say other than good.
Guys, they're just so cute and I've missed Raya. Lucas is getting in the way.
Yeah, he's the worst.
You get no candy because you mock us.
I hope Lucas has a very bad day.
So Keith pointed out this important thing. As far as, so, Riley doesn't put her name on the profile. She says it's so much easier to be somebody else. Oh, no, she says this is so much easier. And then Maya says pretending to be somebody else usually is.
Yeah. Spoiler alert!
Yeah, so, like, vague spoilers. People know true Maya is coming soon, and it's all about her identity crisis becoming too much Riley-y. And so I feel like this is foreshadowing of that.
There was, like, a little tinge in her voice, and I just thought that she must be in the know.
Yeah.
And especially because they're starting the outfit thing this episode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this episode is in direct continuity with that idea.
Well, we'll get to the outfit thing
later. And it's also interesting that that idea is kind of starting. Like, it's already been going on, but, like, in the focus. In an episode where it seems like Lucas is preferring Riley.
Yeah. That's interesting. I do want to say also, so I like that they have her draw... They have Maya draw this, so they're reminding us the art thing. And, but also, it reminded me that I'd seen, there was, like, a video with the cast members and, like, a tour of the new sets and stuff. And they asked, like, who's your favorite teacher? And they were all the kids were, like, really all about the new art teacher. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's going to be in the high school. So not the one we've seen yet.
No, a guy. It's a new guy.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
So he's a total hottie.
You haven't even seen him yet.
But we know.
He's the hunky art professor.
I think he's probably like...
You just want to be the hunky
art professor. I bet he's like all deep and stuff, right? He's like, oh.
Oh, hopefully it's not that kid from the terrible Boy Meets World episode.
Oh my god, that would be so bad.
No!
We're talking about Topanga's only other real love interest in the entirety of the series.
If you could even call it that. Oh man, this is like the end of the Lauren arc, if you guys don't remember.
The worst arc ever.
The best arc ever.
I'll fight you.
That was one of the worst episodes.
The Starry Night thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
It was really
Scene
bad.
Two. Maya and Riley rush to hug each other.
That was so cute.
And I also liked the use of the sets with them coming from different parts of the hallway.
Right, it was like... It made it so much more dynamic because you had people going up, coming down.
Yeah.
And then you had someone come around the corner.
They should get in trouble for texting each other during the classes they're separated in.
Mm.
And then that's next episode.
And then they work so hard to get in trouble because they want to get detention so they can be together.
Or they could just hang out after school.
I just want them together.
But I like this kind of little moment. First of all, good transition, but also like... It didn't really matter to the lesson or the plot,
right?
But it was just natural and continued the idea of high school and Chang. Like, yeah. That's a nice little moment.
It had nothing to do with anything being shoved down your face.
Yeah.
It was all characters just being cool characters. Yeah.
You try that eucalyptus yet, girl?
That was good. Yogi was good in this. Yikes. I like that. And yeah, like you said, he's going to be one of the five husbands.
Yogi? Jessica.
He said it so forcefully. He was
the
like,
guys
girl!
Are skipping ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm really excited about this.
Jessica
episode.
Is super popular now. We loved the characters talking to the camera thing.
Yeah.
Very stylized and different for the show.
Really reminded me of Mean Girls.
Yeah, for sure. And
for sure.
It was just really funny. All these extras were really good.
Yeah.
They were given good lines. They acted it well. I mean, this writer, I'm really on board with this writer.
I mean,
she knows what she's doing.
The best thing was it broke expectation in a really pleasant way. It was nice to be in this place where, like, I don't know where this episode's going to take me, but I'm excited to be along for the ride.
Yeah.
Does Mackenzie Yeager have a Twitter? Are we following her on
I
Twitter?
Don't know that she
someone
does.
Someone let her know.
She has an Instagram.
Someone send us her Twitter if she has a Twitter. I want her to notice us.
We should interview her. We should make that happen somehow.
Senpai, please notice us.
Yeah. So, Lucas wants to become friends with Jessica.
Now, here's the thing. Are we led to believe that he knows even this original point?
I think so, yeah. I really liked... I mean, I can't do it, but Riley's like, what? Like, that
what?
That was really good.
I mean, Rowan and Sabrina in this episode totally brought their comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times I can say it, but, like, every little tiniest chance that they could do something good... They did it good.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, like, it reinvigorated me as far as, like, I know they're good, but, like, it hasn't been this good in a while.
There's no lulls.
Yeah.
There's no lulls in the good comedy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and then Zay saying I went to summer camp with her, too, I thought was really funny. very good.
Zay, you don't even go here.
Scene three, we
Which
go...
Which is actually interesting.
Yeah.
Given what we just said about what the camera talking...
Well, yeah, and did you notice that when he said that, he looked at the camera?
Yeah.
So I like that. That was good. So scene three, we're at the Augie plotline now. I want to say one of the things that I really liked about the Augie plotline was, even though it thematically connected, it wasn't really a lesson. It was just like, this is about the topic.
It was open-ended.
Yeah, and it was
ask kind your of, parents before logging on.
But it wasn't like they really actually taught him anything, because it really wasn't actually about him. He was
and
kind
Corey
of,
doesn't teach.
Yeah, he was kind of the impetus of the conflict between the parents, and like, yes, they had a quote-unquote like a resolution with Topanga and Corey, but it's not like they had to like talk it through and have this big, you know,
sit on you down on the couch.
Yeah, like, so I really appreciated that. It was just life.
Yeah, it was nice that it was not really resolved, but only resolved to the point enough that, like, we get it. The yeah. characters don't need to get it.
The Baj. That's Morgan Freeman.
The Baj?
Isn't it? What was
the
was
Prince of
was
Nairobi.
It Daj or?
I don't even remember. The
Baji, Prince of...
You might be right. I just forget.
Prince Baji.
I was too busy writing notes. Okay, so there's this whole thing with Augie with the internet scam. It says right there, this is no scam, I thought was really good. His delivery was great.
Now, does this become correction for the last two episodes?
Yeah, so we talked about, if there is a message here,
yeah.
the message is that it's not good to believe in everything, and that you have to realize that the real world is out there, and that bad things can happen. And it is funny because
we learned the exact opposite lesson for the last weekend.
Yeah, and it also is funny just because, like, Corey clearly passed this on to Riley, and, like, you see why Riley is the way she is in some way.
God, Corey, this is all your fault.
So, continuity question mark?
I don't know.
Topanga sees what happened to Riley, and she's trying to save Augie?
The Morgan Freeman thing was really funny.
That was so funny.
One of the greatest things about this episode is that it referenced a lot of real-world things that you would have never expected it to do.
Yeah.
And then...
Which just makes it feel real.
Because Mackenzie's hip with the kids.
Real and also refreshing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, every time it happens, it's like, are they really doing this? Are they really referencing that video that we could look up right now and see in real life?
Yeah, that was great.
Is this real life?
This is real life.
They have this little, like, whisper argument with Augie right there, which I thought was fun. And again, I just want to, again, say, Topanga was Topanga, and that was great.
They act like 2 years.
So then we have this whole count to three thing. Corey has lists of things Topanga does. And then we get the one really not fun thing, which was our unneeded flashback of the week.
The flashbacks, we got the blur columns on the side.
The blur columns.
The blur margins, isn't that what they're called?
Yeah,
and I know that it connects because of the action, the 1, 2, 3 thing.
Yeah.
But it's like the actual scene. Someone was still in love. I forget what specifically they said.
It was
Angela still in love with Sean was not necessary.
I have to be honest, though.
Who cares? I don't think you're right.
Shangela fan cares.
I have to be honest, though. This isn't... As much as I like... I felt like it was enough to say, we've been doing this since the 90s to make me go, oh, this is a reference. I actually wouldn't have remembered the specific reference.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Because when they say that, I go, oh, this is probably a reference. And people who are really, really crazy about the show will get it. And so therefore, I'm thinking about it from a girl, like a plainly Girl Meets World fan's point of view.
You can appreciate it from the outside.
Yeah. You don't need to just cut to that thing, make an awkward, like the scene was flowing really well.
We know that this is a sequel show. Yeah.
Corey and Sean point at things.
Because it wasn't.
And Topanga counts.
Especially because that wasn't even like a funny flashback or a heartwarming flashback. It was just something that had happened before. You know, like, it was dumb.
I mean, we have to just say, though, as much as we dislike flashbacks, the brevity and the context lessened
the
pain.
Yeah.
Lessened the pain.
Yeah.
But
it is funny, though, because I almost am like, so is this the only time that this happened? Like, if people remember a bunch of other times where that happened, let me know, because I would be surprised if they resisted the temptation to not do a montage of them all. And so if it was just that one time, then it feels kind of weird that they made such a big deal out of it. You know, like,
it was a really poignant moment for Mackenzie.
Clearly. Yeah. All right. So Topanga's like, oh, so Corey says, you can't imagine the lists I have on you. And Topanga's like, oh, he asks if she has lists. And she goes, no, I don't have any lists on you because I'm a healthy person.
Why not?
All very good. Good stuff.
What do you know?
Scene 4. So Corey is talking about the social networks that everybody's on. I wish we got a name for it. It was just like the Abigail Adams.
No, there was a quick, at the end, there was a quick shot when we saw her page.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it was, had like a lot of vowels or something.
Oh, we should have paused on that and like looked at all the images, because some of them were than things we'd seen before.
Yeah, we should have.
What you gonna do? All right,
we'll pause, right? We're pausing everything right now. We're gonna go.
That is definitely not happening, because it's like 3 a.m. Okay. So
you keep saying everything like a half hour forward of what it actually
is. Well, I'm exaggerating for comedic effect.
Yeah.
So there's this thing that I like where Riley keeps saying not me, and then
Corey's ready to learn,
and Maya says not me. Mm. All just good delivery, just funny.
Not me.
Love it.
Love it.
So then Corey starts talking about cave paintings, because that's what he does. Because
he never really learned anything in school, and he doesn't want anyone else to either.
The lesson itself was fine.
Yeah.
If they had gotten a little deeper into sort of like the expressions of humanity and how that manifests itself, and talked a little more specifically about that, the whole like how they will remember us.
Yeah.
It's okay. Could be better. Could be worse.
I kind of like that idea, and I think that this, like, the fact that it's, like, mostly talking about modern era and not about the history, I actually like, and does have a place in classes, for sure.
They definitely do a better job at it. Yeah.
The one thing about it, though, is that it did feel, like, devoid of an actual, like, homework assignment and, what are they actually like, it was an interesting talk, but, like, it wasn't like, So then again, there are little things that could have tweaked here and there, but I still like what he's generally talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say that it came into the realm of what I call the costume of the idea. For me, any discrepancies or shortcomings are just, they didn't go far enough, which is a different type of thing.
Yeah. Because so he talks about, like, what will people think of us? Will they think about these dancing cats? You know, and we have, like, things like new planets only get 27 likes.
27,000, but okay.
Was that what he said?
But okay.
Yes.
Things get replaced quickly because there's so much information coming at you. It's always about the new thing.
Yeah. And here's where I started to get worried, because I was like, is this going to be the internet is evil?
Yeah.
Is this going to be like...
I mean, the internet is evil.
The younger generation doesn't get it. Let's have small talk and read real newspapers. Because I did not want that to be the case, because that is a really shitty lesson.
So I did like that they had one of the kids say, like, what's wrong with a little distraction? And he says nothing if that's what it really is. But, you know, people don't actually know the real things. He brings up the sneezing panda.
So, pause.
Yeah.
He goes, achoo! And then he goes, ah!
That was really good.
You mentioned before how there's a lot of weird Easter eggs into our own life somehow in this episode.
I'm pretty sure Mackenzie stalked you guys.
We are panda hipsters. We knew about it before it was cool.
Not only that, we published a video. We like made a video for a class for the World Wildlife Fund. And at the end of it, we tagged on that clip.
Yeah.
And it was like a really awkward, super long video of text over it that was way too long. It was like we were like the one that tried way too hard in the class, and we did that, and like, it's interesting looking back that became a popular, funny video that everybody knows about. But when we found it, we just like found it one day. And we're like, oh, what's this? Let's tag it on. Like, it was
so that, yeah, that video has a special place in my heart. and then I loved everybody reacting to Charlie bit my finger. Yeah. And
Sabrina was great.
Yeah, and her getting to be able to say, oh,
Charlie.
Yeah, great. Really great.
The timing is...
Yeah. There was really good comedic timing.
Yeah.
So that's another thing we could actually... Both, you know, Mackenzie did great, but I feel like Ryder directing the comedy did a good job here, too.
Like, it's like, guys, I know it would be just awkward enough. That'd be funny.
The great things is, like, when you think it's about to end, and then Sabrina comes back in and goes, oh, it starts up again.
Yeah. So Corey starts talking about, you know, when does it become not just a distraction, but a lifestyle, which I think is an interesting thing to talk about, and it becomes, there is this fine line about you don't want to rail against people being able to distract themselves and have fun here and there, but you're right, that if it becomes all about the distraction and not about the substance, that is something worth talking about. And, you know, Lucas says we use it to study, but then Corey brings up, you know, who knows about where the penguins are? Who knows the capital of Minnesota? You have all this. And, you know, we were talking about how this connects with...
I knew both.
Yeah. we were talking about how this connects with the Boy Meets World episode quiz show and how they know, like, the stupid fake knowledge.
Right.
But Feeny gets so upset that they have all this knowledge at their fingertips now and they're using it to fight Bowser and stuff like that. And so I think that was interesting. I do take a slight issue with the specific examples that Corey brings up here,
because it's too irrelevant for...
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. I'll totally admit this, that I didn't know the answers to either of those things, and I don't think that they matter. I don't think that I need to know the capitals of the city. Like, if I lived in Minnesota and I didn't know, that'd be pretty bad. And it would be good to know, but I don't need to know. It's not going to affect my life in any way. I'm not going to be... So here's the thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't attain knowledge on the internet and actually use it for real things. I just think the kind of knowledge might be like... the countries in Africa, where it's like, I should probably know about the culture of the world, not, like, the specific name of a place in Minnesota. And, like, I may be learning about, like, important political things or movements or actual history, but, like, why do I need to know where the penguins are?
I half agree with you, because where I'm at is, I think that the biggest thing is, it's okay if it becomes a lifestyle, becomes a culture, because what it allows you to do is, if you are freed from having to know the factoids, the specific little things and the facts here and there, you have more room to get the concepts. You can get bigger concepts of different things, and that can help you paint a more important worldview picture than just having the factoids and focusing on the small picture. That being said, I think that the Minnesota thing falls into the factoid.
Yeah.
The penguins, to me, falls into a concept. To me, that's one of those things, if you build a picture of the world that is dictated outside of reality and more by, you know, just...
not... I mean, I just don't care about animals. I'm sorry. I don't care.
But even more than that, it's just like, if you are learning about penguins from Christmas specials and not actually knowing where they live,
but
that's a problem.
When in my life will it ever matter that I need to know about penguins? And if I do, I can take out my phone
they take over the world and become our overlords.
And that's the thing. That's the flip side of the argument, where it's like, I literally, for those kind of questions... I don't need to go on the internet for it, because if I ever actually need it, I take out my phone, I say, "Hey Siri, where are penguins?" And it tells me.
Well, when you hear about, like, the polar bears and their habitat decreasing due to us taking very poor care of our beautiful planet, you should know where that's happening.
See, now, okay, that I can agree with. Even if he had said something like, knowing about global warming, that's a bigger, important, like, thing that will impact everyone's lives and that we should be fighting against. I don't need to know where Minnesota...
You really hate Minnesota. But stemming off of something you said earlier, I do wish that they had brought in that one of the positive things of social networks is networking. Mm. And that, like, actually, like, how it's important in political movements and things like that, and actually, like, connecting with people, and that, like, on a global level and things like that. I feel like they kind of really glossed over that, and I think... That's one of the most important things about it.
Yeah, I will say...
And I don't want them to get, like, cheesy about it, but it's like, if you're going to talk about the pros and cons, I think that those are really obvious pros.
Yeah, I think is, though, if I really think about it, I don't know that this was an episode that was, like, internet, good or bad. I think it really was more just... make sure that you don't get lost in the distraction
part. In the possibility. Yeah, and I think it's like getting... swallowed up by the infinite possibilities that you don't know where what is worth, not even what's real and what's fake, but like what is worth investing your effort,
what is
your
quality,
and your what becomes part of your life and what doesn't. Because if all these things can become part of our culture in certain ways, and that is the lasting impact, and even if they are part of our culture in the sense that they are entertainment, that's one thing, but if they're part of our culture that it permeates beyond that, then it starts to become something else.
And I mean that, I don't know how to say this without, like, sounding like I'm tooting my own horn here, but, like, that is a part of why we don't just say, this was great, this was great, this was great, because we are trying to create something that, yes, is entertainment, but might actually create thought-provoking discussion,
and
or...
snowball into some other aspect of life. Yeah.
And then it's 3 a.m., and here we are, folks!
So, you know, then he gets into anonymity and how hiding behind a fake name gives people the courage to go negative, We don't hide behind fake names. We actually say our real names every episode.
So, except for this one, you said you were Jessica.
I'm glad that they did this. Yeah. This could have been what this episode was all about.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be, but I'm glad that if it wasn't, they at least said that. They could have done a little bit more here. Yeah. But, you know, they could have very easily glossed over this.
Yeah. I'm glad that they did. I mean, I think that the problem with Go Negative, so like, I do like this, but the problem with Go Negative is that there is such a fine line between negativity and critique.
Well, no,
and
they're talking about YouTube trolls and things
like
that.
Yeah, I know, but I do feel like it's worth pointing out, because I do think if you're just going to be like straight up just like groaning about something that somebody cared about and worked at, like, it is important to try to be putting something good out there, and that knowing that people actually do see these things, and, you know, it is a fine line for us where, like, we do want to be critical and, like, actually be analyzing this thing, and it is sometimes a hard thing to balance.
Yeah.
And this is why we get hate mail.
Yeah. Good, good.
That is the dream.
All right, so then we get the announcement about how they wanted to meet Jessica over the thing. Really
Jessica.
Funny.
Jessica!
I'm sorry, I have problems.
Marosha!
This reminded me kind of, like, the way they used the announcements on MASH, how it, like, would start, like, as if it was, like, an official announcement, they would, like, quickly disintegrate into something weird and casual.
Mm-hmm. Okay, scene 5. Maya is alone on the bay window. She's saying all these things, and I liked how she ends with a third word for being alone. That was good.
The outfit.
Yeah, she's in the legacy outfit.
Yeah, she's got the overalls, the purple shirt, and the choker necklace.
From Riley's outfit in Legacy, showing that he's slowly taking on more and more of Riley's attributes.
Which is why I think that line before has to be in direct continuity.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's like, oh, you're looking too deep. I mean, the way she delivered it, the way Sabrina had that kind of, like, that little tiny bit in her voice that was like, there's something more than just a happy-go-lucky joke.
It's nice when there's subtext, isn't there? So...
Thanks, Mackenzie. I'm really grateful for you.
And the Strong Bros.
Yeah, but they had nothing to do with that.
They directed.
They directed how she delivered
the line. I meant
the line
in general. Yeah. I meant that it was written.
So Riley is answering private advice requests. He gets a request from Lucas, and Maya jumps and attacks her. I enjoyed that.
Pretty great.
Why? What are you going to do? Oh, ah!
Oh, ah. So Lucas seems like he likes Jessica. He likes that she likes cotton candy and unicorns. Lucas, so there's a Riley.
Please don't have ship wars. I can't handle it anymore.
Now Lucas is interesting in this episode because he actually has a really big
and
plot. He's a big plot device, but he's barely in it
because he's a prop.
Which is I'm not saying this is a negative. Here is a positive. What they're doing is they're balancing the effect of characters and the screen time of characters are here very effectively. We can talk about Lucas being a prop, but I don't think that was the case in this episode here.
I agree with you.
He was doing something important, but he didn't eat up screen time. The girls had the majority of the screen time, and that worked.
He was kind of manipulating the situation in the background, which was really good. That was a great use of him.
How is this triangle even happening? They talk about it, which is weird.
The important question is, do we ship Jessica's?
Jessica's. All hail Jessica's.
Or Luxica.
Luxica. Way too cool for Lucas.
So Riley gets all excited and is like, this will solve everything. Lucas can have Jessica and neither of us will get hurt, which makes no sense, but okay.
Your head? Did I fall on your head? Was it your head?
That was really funny. And then Riley does this crazy bed hop. She sticks the landing. I still don't really understand it, but it was funny.
Physical comedy.
And then he goes to March, and that's really good.
Oh, she's marching now.
Really great. And so then she explains what's going to happen. A, we're going to go to...
It's me, Maya.
She goes, A, we're going to go to school
and
like
Nimrod.
This. And I go through the A, B, C, D, E.
No.
A, we're going to go to school with this. B, I'm going to claim my popularity. C, I'll solve the triangle. D, something will go horribly wrong. And E, we'll learn a big lesson. I enjoyed the meta
there.
You gotta
love it.
Very fun.
Can't argue with that. It just sounds so accurate.
That was great. So scene 6.
We skipped right to D.
Scene 6.
Topanga has really nice, messy hair. Like, her hair is...
I liked her
It was early
hair.
In the morning, and which is interesting, because also in the promo for next episode is similar, that the girl's hair was a little bit messy.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're almost listening to our podcast, because it's important that if you're waking up...
That they listen to our podcast.
Yeah. If you're waking up in the morning, you shouldn't have, like, perfect set hair.
No.
It needs to be a little bit, not even messy, but, like, a little bit frizzy. Yeah. It needs that little bit of something that doesn't look like you just got up out of the makeup chair. Makeup chair.
I don't even, now that I think about it, like, I wouldn't necessarily call Topanga's hair and this episode messy as much as it was.
Legit.
It had character.
Yeah. She did it.
Yeah, it didn't look fake.
Yeah.
It looked like it was actually Topanga's hair. And so Topanga, but, yeah, go.
No, sorry.
How early do the girls wake up? Because they wake up early enough to be perfectly ready, have a full-on conversation. Riley then goes into the closet, changes into Jessica, then they go to school.
And she comes out of the closet to Maya.
Yay! Anyways, and then Corey, who is a teacher, is still having breakfast.
Yeah, but he's a really lousy teacher. He probably should be fired a long time ago, so he's probably just... Here's the thing is, how many classes do you think he teaches in a day?
One.
So Topanga doesn't want their son to be an internet sucker. But he hears that Ava is in London and wants money, and he talks about how you taught us to help our friends.
Ava got hacked.
Now, this even more directly kind of, like, called out old lessons, right? Because it's like, oh, you should always trust your friends. That will never lead to anything bad, because friends are perfect.
I trust them. I believe anything.
So Corey has a list of Topanga saying prove me wrong, and they have the 100th anniversary of why did I marry you.
It's a good thing Corey knows what anniversary means.
Oh, just good banter. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Okay, so scene 7 is just this big Spartacus reference with I'm Jessica. We got the Yogi thing, all good.
Yogi? Jessica!
So now in the promo, this was like the big highlight.
This was the promo.
Yeah. And it made the episode seem way more crazy than it was. And
it made it look terrible.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that, like, aside from, like, maybe the sword part, this isn't actually necessarily, like, unrealistic. I mean, like, it's just.
I mean, I remember the day in high school when all the girls and guys dressed up in blue wigs too.
I mean, you know what I mean, though, right? Like, it makes
it's just 3 a.m. and I'm sorry.
it's like a over the top, but a good level of over the top. Yeah, I understand everyone's motivations here.
Right. I mean, so in the promo, which I watched before the episode, I was like, okay, I'm so excited for this episode. It sounds great, and I saw the promo. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. This is like a weird Hannah Montana episode.
Yeah.
Oh no. But then I was like, okay. That scene was definitely not the highlight of the episode.
No.
But it was a hell of a lot better than what I thought it was. Yeah. In context, it worked to at least a major extent.
It was the right level of, like, yes, it was heightened. Yes, it wasn't, like, realistic. But the actual idea of someone makes this account, people really fall in love with it, it becomes like a thing, and then people want to take credit for it, that all makes sense. And so if just the specifics are a little heightened for comedy, I'm okay with that. Now, I do want to talk to you about it, because to me, that doesn't seem that different than our discussion last week, where I was saying, oh, you know, Lucas has this crazy football scene. The idea is, you know, that they think they're going to do well, and we know it's like finding out people are better than you, people are more athletic than you, and what that means. And so what do you feel like is the difference? Is it just that it was funnier?
So the difference to me is, well, it was funnier, but that isn't the difference. It is, there's no high emotional stakes. There's nothing that we are going to come down on the other end of the scene that this was supposed to affect. Because in that reference there, you have something weird and comedic, which is supposed to be a big part of the catalyst of why these friends are all screwed up.
Yeah.
And so here we just have it, they know exactly what they're getting into as soon as they go up the stairs. They, you know, step D, it fails miserably, everything goes horribly wrong. So there's that. And also, I think this one here blends the line of, A, it is, yes, they're taking credit, but it's also a part of, it becomes a cultural thing. It's almost like, they're, even if they're not trying to fool anyone that are taking credit, they're like, I'm feeding into this new culture of Jessica. You know, I'm emulating her. We're becoming like Jessica. This is the new fad. So that, to me, is like, it's hyperbolic, obviously, but there are other subtle things happening there. There's no weird thing that's going to come on when the scene ends, that they have to take something, like, there's no big takeaway, yeah. which is like, oh my god, that just really hurt us and our friendship, yeah. and now we have to go deal with this in the bay window. No, it's just like, yeah. it's funny.
Also, let's point out, it's not like internet fads aren't ridiculous and over the top.
Right.
You know, it's not like, if they had made, if like, I don't know, like, Gangnam Style didn't exist and they made that, we would go, this is ridiculous, but you know what, it does exist.
I remember in high school when girls were putting water bottles in their, like, Poland Spring bottles in their hair, and then covering their hair with it, tying their hair at the top so that their hair was sticking straight up.
It's important to stay hydrated.
I don't think I ever heard of this.
This was my senior year, you guys were gone. Okay. Lucky for you. Oh, I did not do this, FYI.
Unlikely story.
So, I swear.
One day later, what could possibly have changed?
I like this too.
I want Maya to always narrate. Or Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. And then we get more great talking to the camera. People continue to be funny. They're over it now, but they're funny. And I love how
the interviews are great.
Yeah. There's like good, like pathetic characters.
Yeah.
Like numerous, like in pathetic in different ways. Like I like the one that was like, oh, he's my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know how she is.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all, I mean, all
the
really
extras.
Good.
You don't know Jessica like I know Jessica.
The extras are really good here. Like I believe them as part of this universe, unlike High School 1 and 2.
All right, so we're getting into scene 9. So Riley pesters Maya, and, you know, he's like, what do I feel about this? And Maya's like, leave me alone,
Zydrak!
And, you know, Corey goes, you know, how do you guys feel about who you are? And Zay goes, you know, I have 109 followers, so I'm good, I like that. You know,
how many we got?
We got over 2,000.
Ha,
so
take that, Zay!
We feel pretty damn good. That's why we do this, actually, is to feel good about ourselves.
Is to put down, Zay.
Farkle lists off the facts that Corey asked earlier, and, you know, Corey's like, isn't that great that we know this? And I was like...
And everyone in the class is a copy of Dan.
So now we wrote this down as a note to brainstorm what facts we wish it was to make it more relevant, and we totally didn't do that.
No, let's do it now. No, but I feel like we kind of already covered this.
Yeah, but, like, specifically, like, for your argument, what types of facts...
I don't think it should be fact. I think it should be theory.
He said...
Yeah, I talked about global warming, maybe, like, busing, like, you know, important things about racism and how
like
that
actual
has
historical...
Yeah, like, they could learn about, like, the shootings that have been happening. They could learn about the Electoral College and how they can help in the politics. They could learn about all sorts of... Like, they could learn about other culture. Like, learning about other cultures is different than learning a factoid, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
ideas versus reference.
Yeah, they could learn philosophy. Yeah. Like, you know, they could learn music and create, you know, like... There's a lot, like, there's a difference between watching a YouTube video and making a YouTube video from knowledge that you gained on the internet.
Yeah. Speaking of music, yesterday, my brother found the power supply to my electric keyboard.
Yeah.
So we can finally do those radio plays with the music in the background.
Oh, very good.
It's been missing for at least a year.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm now doing video editing professionally, and I'm learning a lot of my stuff by going on the internet and watching tutorials that teach me new techniques. There's a lot that you can use on the internet that, like, actually applies to your real life.
Yeah, I mean,
and
again, speaking of music, I learned guitar largely from using the internet.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like Corey's lesson. I like the lesson. I just kind of wish that the specifics were switched up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, he goes back to Charlie Bit My Finger. That was great. The use of the extras and how that whole cacophony happened was really good.
The class dynamic was great.
What's weird about the Charlie Bit My Finger thing and them all being, like, super hyped about that is that was, like, a viral video when I was in, like, middle school.
I think it, like, it is...
Maybe early high school.
I think the thing is that it lasted. Unlike some other ones, I think that one, like, actually is, like, known.
And you know what else it is? These are people that grew up at a younger age having cell phones and internet access. When we were in elementary school, we didn't have smartphones.
Yeah.
They might have.
Or at least they have connected to the internet in some fashion.
Yeah. I have to check
when
my dates on
that.
When
you were in high school, you didn't have a smartphone?
That's also true.
I didn't have a smartphone until my junior year of college.
But not smartphones, probably, but, like, access to...
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Think about, like, these people probably had tablets at a very young age, things like that, or parents.
YouTube didn't exist until 2004, right?
Yeah.
So, like, at that point, we were in, like, late middle school.
Yeah.
Like,
so even if they weren't, like, old enough that you expect them to go out and look at these things, they still they existed when...
Yeah, like, honestly, until we were in, like, 8th grade, like, streaming video wasn't that much of a thing. like, that's insane to think about, but it's true.
We're old. Yeah.
We're gonna end this one with a dial-up signal, right?
So...
No, we should start with one, obviously.
Our favorite sound. So Corey talks about, you know, if something is so easily replaced, then does it have any value at all? That's an interesting thing. I mean, I still think it has a value.
Mm-hmm. Like coffee filters.
I think it has a... Entertainment, in and of itself, is a value. It's just that your life can't just be that.
Yeah.
And he does admit that with the whole distractions are okay once in a while thing. But and so then, you know, Riley feels sort of overwhelmed and doesn't want to be judged by, like, the movie she likes. You know, she's still learning who she is and now that could change, you know. And Corey says, you know, who you are isn't measured by today or tomorrow, but by a whole bunch of days. Not what you like or say at a particular moment. And it's a great thing about... this was the funny line. He's like, the great thing about evolving is that you keep growing, which is basically... The great thing about evolving is that you evolve. But, you know...
If Riley was a Pokemon, what Pokemon would she be?
Oddish.
That's... That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Else? But I feel like Oddish is, like, too sad.
Goldeen.
Squirtle.
Goldeen.
Though I guess, like, mid-season two, she could have evolved into a Gloom. Like, she started crying every episode.
Is she gonna be Vileplume this season?
Or maybe she'll be... What's the other one that it evolves into? The one with that's, like, the hula girl.
Blossom.
She'd be a good Blossom.
Tweet in your thoughts on Pokemon.
Actually, that'd be a great Twitter poll.
Which Pokemon?
What Pokemon would Riley be?
That would be good.
Well, we gotta make it.
Gen 1. Some Gen 2 only.
So, you know, so I want to know Corey's lesson. So he talks about, you know, don't be influenced just by what other people like and share. You know, he goes, what should determine what you think? Wikipedia. And
you disgust me.
That possibly the best joke of the entire show. All seasons. I don't know.
That was I don't know that I agree with that, but it was really good.
That was a really, really good joke that was like, I would have never expected them to say that. Like, and it's so real.
Yeah.
That's such a real joke that these kids would make.
Also, it's important about when the joke happened, because he was doing his,
He's trying to be serious.
Yeah, he was doing his, like, I'm saying my, you know, important thing here, and then they undercut it, but he still said it.
Right.
You know, and so, and I
you
do
get
think,
the best of both
yeah,
worlds.
Yeah, this was one of those episodes where they talked about multiple things, that there are multiple lessons, but they all kind of flowed together in a nice way, because you do get here this, like, dope...
Instead of just trying to teach us two lessons at once.
Yeah.
So, actually, before I forget, real quick, what was the twist?
The twist?
Of this episode. Now that we're starting to wrap it up.
Like, the twist is the Lucas thing. That Lucas
is that
always...
a twist, though?
It's a mini twist.
It's a very different type of twist
that
we usually get.
I wanted to bring up a random thing to you.
All right.
So with this season of them in high school... of this season with them in high school, all the weird things that happened to them that... If Corey could be behind them all, like, the bullies, and, like, if Lucas knowing, actually, Corey let him know.
Yeah.
It made me think of the, I can't remember which series it is, but the X-Men series where Mystique is the principal the entire time.
That's X-Men Evolution.
And so Corey's Mystique in this situation.
It's a very specific reference.
I know, but I've had this idea, and I keep wanting to bring it up to you, and I couldn't remember, so I'm bringing it up here and now, and you all get to hear my theory.
A few years ago, when Days of Future Past came out, I guess it was, like, suddenly, like, I need to watch X-Men Evolution, and I watched, like, a season and a half in, like, a day, and I was like, I love this show. Good show.
Did I ever tell you that I had a big crush on Nightcrawler?
No, you didn't.
Well, I did.
That's an amazing crush to have. I think I had a crush on Kitty in that show.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the actual serious lessons here. So, so we get, like, the peer pressure thing, like, be yourself thing, and be proud of who you are thing.
And only trust Wikipedia.
We got the thing of, like...
Don't be an internet troll.
Don't get lost in the distraction, you know. That these are all good things. And I do like the idea of, like, who you are isn't just who you are in one moment. It's who you are overall.
And if you make an account for multiple people that's pseudo for multiple people, don't pretend you're not the one running it.
You know, I was Crimson Ninja 62 one day, but I've evolved. I feel things.
Now you're Crimson Ninja 63.
Yeah, you know, so don't judge me.
No, now you're the Dark Magician.
Yeah, the Dark Magician. All right.
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Scene 10. There's a group... Okay, so scene 10, we have a group bay window scene. Lucas knows that Riley is Jessica, and I really liked Zay saying, "Lucas told me that you were Jessica." That was a really good line, because A, it was funny, but it also...
Step well, E, they forget, learned a big lesson.
Forget skipping to D, we're skipping all the way to E.
It also, like, kind of, I like little moments like that where it's like,
we know he's not super core four, yeah, but we're going to let him in a little bit just enough, and then we're going to take it
that
back.
This episode and last episode have really kind of underlined that, like, he is Lucas's friend that kind of hangs out with them.
Right.
You know? And that he's there for Lucas. Maybe he likes the rest of them, but he hasn't fully ingratiated himself, and I really like that.
Yeah.
So that was nice. You know, and Lucas talks about how he would recognize her anywhere, and Maya's like, "I want nice things too," and he goes... And he says, like, the same thing. He's like, "You're not even trying." And he goes, I'm so tired.
I'm tired all the time.
That was really good.
Poor Lucas.
Lucas is great.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Also, just make up your mind. Like,
Excuse me. And so then we get this other lesson of friends who know who you are the most important and real thing that there is. They kind of jam-packed it, but they're all nice things. I'm a fan of these nice things.
Pizza!
Scene 11, they
wait,
count...
Wait, there's more?
Yeah, there's two more.
Let's wait, there's more.
Scene 11, count to three. Topanga, you know, Topanga says, like, you know, "I won, and that feels good." But which I really liked. But she doesn't want Corey to have a list of anything that she does that he doesn't like, which was a nice little moment. And Corey says he wouldn't change one moment of anything they've ever done.
Including the Lorne arc.
And then Ava comes back from London and with tons of money, and it was all a dream, which I actually did enjoy. You know, that was fun. I'm glad it was a dream, thank God.
Yeah, it would not have gone over well if it wasn't a dream.
I do think, I don't know if I would have liked it more, but I do think it would have been kind of funny if like, Corey put her up to this and gave her, like, fake money to, like,
that all had his picture on
them. Yeah, to, like, win the argument. I think that would have been pretty funny, too.
But. And that supports my Mystique reference.
That's too much screen time, though. That's my only thing, is that's too much screen time.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Okay, so then the tag is the who's your best friend puppy thing.
Pizza!
So I didn't know, this is like a real video.
Not a bad ending, but really abrupt.
It was a little abrupt. We probably could have just ended with the dream. Like him waking up in the dream. I didn't dislike it, it was
You're
fine.
You're all jerks. Jessica jerks.
JessicaJerks.com. All right.
I still like that her nickname's Jexy. My God, we still have to do mail time.
We do still have to do mail time. We don't have a ton of mail time. We're going to do it. All right. Mail time.
I thought we were about to end. No offense, I'll read your mail, but oh my God.
But oh my God.
Mail time. Mail time. Mail
time. Mail time. The mail's here.
All right, so I'm going to sort of kind of rush through these tweets, guys, just because we're pressed on time.
Sorry, not sorry.
Caitlin's tired.
So our first tweet is from @rstickle24, who had fallen behind on the show and has caught back up, which I'm excited about because I missed
so
rstickle.
You're tweet
congratulations.
Us
more,
right?
And he said, "I thought it was the funniest episode of the series."
Mm.
We sort probably of probably agree. Seats. Yeah.
Tentatively agree.
@fashionofgmw says, "Probably my favorite yet. The Corpanga was heavenly, and Augie was awesome, and the Luke and Lucas was smarty, and Jessica, I loved it all." @derp
Is that your crocodile?
Stop.
@derpdederp one says,
"That's great.
Oh man." You took my name. You took my screen name. Now I can never get that screen name.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Good premise. Lucas's actions were a little confusing. Why was Corey home when the kids were at school?
I'm telling you, they woke up at like 5 a.m.
Yeah. He says, dream, maybe? @GMWBuzz says, it was fun. Lighthearted. Good meta jokes. Great scenes between Rowan and Sabrina. And the Corpanga plot was adorable.
Raya.
At Ainsworth A says, the scenes with everyone acting like they have known Jessica for a decade were hilarious. Rowan and Sabrina killed it. Fabulous episode. Gotta love the Corpenga interaction. Zay in the Notebook and Celine Dion was really good too. At Nan from Florida says, Maya was my season one snarky Maya again. Her Wikipedia line and the return of her cheese souffle accent were the highlights for me.
Cheese souffle.
That was really good. I know it's some people aren't fans of it, but I think it's great.
I like it.
That's a good ongoing
thing. I thought
you
didn't like it.
No, I really like it. It's Pape that doesn't like it. Yeah, I'm a fan.
So direct your hate mail towards him.
At
No.
At DCUO21955 says, this episode is one of my all-time faves of Girl Meets World. Woot. I added the woot. At at Many Are Called says, I can't say I liked this one, although it wasn't what I was afraid it might be. Intriguing.
I assume you were afraid like we were with the promo and just wasn't excited as we were in the end.
Alright, read the paper email. I do want to throw in, before you read it actually, he ended out by saying, P.S. I wrote this as I was walking, so if it makes no sense, I'm sorry. So,
here we go. Never apologize, Pape. Never apologize.
I never apologize.
Alright, I'm gonna read it now. Jeremy Pape writes in this week. I do it now myself, so you don't do it.
I like it.
Do it one more time so we can all say it at once.
No, I hate you. Anyways. I really like the lighting in the first scene. Same. But
retweet.
But as I suspected, the central drama is pretty lame. Ooh.
Ooh.
Was this an imaginary friend Riley had? Yeah. It was unclear.
I mean, friend, I think, is not exactly.
Protector, guardian.
No. He, like, it's like her super version of herself. Mm-hmm. It's more like the cool, like, if I was cool, it's like the what he wants to be person.
I still really want to have, like, a surreal kind of episode, maybe with Augie and Ava playing pretend, and all the characters take on, like, a different persona, but in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
Like Alice in Wonderland or something, or, like, some kind of fantasy thing that's like that, but seeing, and, like, I feel
and
like...
Lucas becomes the weird cowboy that comes in.
He doesn't have to be a cowboy.
He's the villain this episode.
He's Tuxedo Mask.
He is Tuxedo Mask.
I do.
Which is good because Tuxedo Mask also does nothing.
I feel like the alter ego thing for some people might seem really unrealistic or like overly she's a child thing, but I feel like I knew a lot of people who had ideas like this and like I mean, they wouldn't talk about it, but like it was a thing. You know, like
I knew people that talked about it.
Yeah.
I love Yogi and the We Only Know Five Guys thing was the Everyone Loves Jessica sequence supposed to parallel that Regina George scene in Mean Girls. Hey, Pape! I knew that.
What is the Regina George scene?
The scenes that they're referencing in Mean Girls, or at least that we think they're referencing in Mean Girls, is everyone's like, someone mentions Regina George, and then it cuts to people being like interviewed about Regina George.
Once did this.
And then they do it again later, and it's after the Slam Book or whatever it's called, the Burn Book comes out, and they're all like defending themselves, like the hot dog girl.
Mm.
She only made out with a hot dog once, one time.
All right.
Anyway, let me keep reading this email. I'm really tired, guys. Corey and Topanga actually seem like how they should have been since the first GMW episode. Did not like the unnecessary flashback. It wasn't needed. It will just stir up more fan theories. I have mixed feelings about the we'll be back with the lesson thing. We're quite familiar with the static format this show has chosen. Maya did the stupid cheese souffle thing voice again. Why did the TV say Bizarre Vark during the show?
Bizarre Vark.
Why did this podcast do it? I didn't care for the repeated Charlie bit my finger reference. One was fine. The Wikipedia joke elicited a real laugh from me. Ooh. Ha ha ha. Didn't care for Augie's dream sequence either. Unfortunately, my DVR cut out at the end. Oh no! So I'll have to watch it on the West Coast airing. But I pretty well know what the last scene would convey, so I feel comfortable with my B-. Even though there were parts of the humor I enjoyed.
Let's send him the clip of the dog.
Okay.
That's literally the last thing.
Yeah. All right, Keith, here's an email for you, buddy, from Holly.
Oh my god, Holly!
Holly!
Oh boy.
I love you, Holly, but whoa.
But wow.
It's a long email.
So this is a response to last week's episode, yeah.
At Holly Jane writes in, this week. First of all, like you, I come to Girl Meets World because I am a big fan of Boy Meets World. Though I probably would anyways because it surpasses in quality much of what is on DC, that is, Disney Channel. And as an employee of Disney / ABC television group, I have to watch the channel. Colon, close parentheses.
It's a smiley face.
I want to know what he does, but he probably shouldn't say.
No. Through the first two seasons, the show earned my respect and love. However, I can be critical of it because I love it, and I think that you three share that. Mostly, I want to say that I'm glad to hear fans be critical, only wanting the best for the show because they know the heights it can reach. It is annoying to see on my Twitter timeline fans saying how awesome the episodes were because they were not close to being acceptable, and it truly baffles me what they were thinking. I was deeply disappointed in High School Parts 1 and 2. It was like they came back from summer break and forgot how to write, act, or light a set.
Copyright.
What I perceive of the show is that it works on multiple planes. Writers use numerous literary devices, namely the seniors being heralds. I also saw mirroring being used. I try to give them space and benefit of the doubt because I trust Michael Jacobs. Mistake. And staff. But after that start and their strong belief in those episodes, I'm starting to question my faith. Sam.
Well, I do want to point out, okay, so like, I want to pause for 1 second and just say, I know Michael Jacobs is
capable. The boss.
He is very capable of doing greatness, obviously. But that doesn't mean that he always does.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all I want to say.
He needs a little extra help sometimes. Yeah. I did see Girl Meets Triangle taped and it was solid, so I take solace in that. The ridiculous scenes and overplayed comedic scenes that had... Whoa, scrolly. The ridiculous scenes and overplayed comedic scenes, I have to check myself because I forget the target audience age and the channel it is on. What then amazes me is that the quick turn it can make with the drama, deep lessons an even adult can relate to. And the brilliant acting / chemistry of Rowan and Sabrina. They truly are the saving grace, certainly. Along with the Boy Meets World cast infusions. If they would limit Augie and Ava, I would be happy. Admittedly, in High School Part 1 and 2, they were given advanced yet horribly written dialogue. But a talented actor should have been able to deliver it. Despite age, both children failed, especially in Part 2. If they cannot deliver the lines, then rewrite the scene. And I feel the same about Fogelmatus. The show producers love his stilted delivery, but he annoys the hell out of me. I will say, I think we all three, we feel better about him now.
Yeah. I also kind of feel like...
I feel like Holly is referencing, though, like, Farkle's go-to things.
Yeah.
So that I can understand and kind of agree it's with, that things... that should stop.
There's more, so don't
stop. Well, I do want to pause for a second and just say, so I feel like, to me, it's hard for me to criticize him specifically, because I feel like he's playing the character that he's supposed to be playing.
The director,
you know, like, yeah, like, I feel like the way he's directed and the way that character's written... I feel like he's doing what he's supposed to do. I would like to see him in a different role and see how that goes. But I also did want to say...
Cinnamon rolls.
I wanted to say, when we were talking about... he was talking about how sometimes she has to check herself and realize the audience and realize the channel and all that stuff. But it is episodes like this that show... That
you can have both.
Yeah, that just because it's on this... like. You know, we got a negative review this week talking about, like, it's a kid's show. Well, you know what? This episode was a kid's episode, and it was good, and it was funny, and adults thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all...
Yeah, this kid's show is a terrible excuse for, like, it being absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, all the Pixar movies are kids' movies.
Yeah.
So...
And they're fantastic. Yeah. Have you seen Toy Story 3? Kids shouldn't see Toy Story 3.
Holly continues... I echo your sentiments about believability, normal clothes more often, no easy resolutions. Revisionist history and American exceptionalism. I'd like to see longer arcs. I want to see the park outside their studio being used. Want Rowan and Sabrina challenged even more and watch them knock scenes out of the damn park. Lastly, I am thankful to have discovered your podcast, and though I don't always agree, I learn things and come away with a new viewpoint that enriches my viewing experience. All the best to each of you, and keep up the good work.
I like Holly.
I like Holly a lot.
Be like Holly.
Yeah. I want to say, I think this might be one, like, might be my favorite email we've ever gotten.
Because it's really comprehensive.
Yeah. I no offense to everybody else. I love you, too. But, like...
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, but, like...
But moving on from you, Holly!
That's not about me!
I mean, I just really... It was really heartwarming... Especially because she wasn't, like, one of our people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I vaguely remember that Twitter name, but she's not, like, one of the people we talk to constantly.
She's not, like, one of the Kagawi Nation henchmen.
Yeah, and so it was just, like...
We're really sorry to all the people we employ and don't pay.
And it was just, like, really nice to know that someone, like, totally got it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, even more than totally got it, but, like, totally gets the value in what we're doing.
Oh, but we're attempting and just, like, totally... is willing to say that they love the show, but is willing to be, like, that, like, in some ways, that was, like, more critical than some of the stuff we've said. Like, we don't talk about Fogelmans' acting that often.
Anymore.
You know, like, and so...
And they admitted that they don't always agree with us.
Yeah, and that's what I love, too. You don't have to. All you have to know is that, like, we are just giving our honest opinions...
You don't have to agree with a damn thing I say, except for Raya.
I mean,
and we'll be okay.
Yeah, and it's like, I didn't agree with a lot of things Keith was saying last week, and that's fine. He had his opinions, and he backed them up, and I had my opinions, and I backed them up, and that's
though
kind
of... We got in a huge fist fight afterwards, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
I recorded it, though. I'll leave it one day.
That's just our weekly ritual. All right.
There are candles. There are candles, and there's, like, a sigil on the ground.
Oh, man. All right. I think we're going to get into our...
And in wrapping up...
Well, no, we have a voicemail. I'm going to play it on my phone.
All right, whatever.
How come we never try anymore with the voicemails?
What do you mean by
like,
try?
Like, actually post-production edited it in.
You mean that one time I didn't?
No.
All right, so we're going to end out with just this voicemail from Emily. And here we go.
Hey, Kigawi. So, I just finished watching Girl Meets Jessica, and I really enjoyed it. I thought that there were a lot of really funny parts... It was just an overall really cute episode. And so, let's see, Riley and Maya's friendship was really cute in this episode. They had a lot of cute moments together. And I liked that they made reference to real things. Like, I love that Zay loves The Notebook and Celine Dion. That was just so funny. And then, you know, talking about viral videos, like the Charlie Bit My Finger and the Sneezing Panda, and then... Sabrina's acting was just spot on this episode. I mean, everyone's acting was, but especially Sabrina, I noticed. She really hit her cues, and, you know, when they were talking about the Sneezing Panda, she was like, oh, and then they all go, achoo, and then, ah, and it was just really cute, and her answering with Wikipedia tells her who her value is. And then Cory and Topanga were super cute this episode, and it really showed how, like, their parenting styles differ, and that was really interesting to see that in action. When they were showing Augie's dream before we knew it was a dream, I was like, really, they're going this way? But then it was a dream, so it was all good. And with the flashback, I think when I'm rewatching the episode, I won't really like it, but when I was actually watching it for the first time, I actually really enjoyed it, because when they mentioned, like, oh, you've been doing that since the 90s, I remembered that there was a part like that in Boy Meets World, but I couldn't remember what the context was, and so I was like, oh, I guess I'll have to look that up later. But then they did the flashback, and so I remembered what was happening there. But like I said, in future viewings, I may not enjoy having that, because it doesn't really fit in the context of the episode, but it's super quick, and it doesn't really matter that much. Yeah, I thought it was a really cute episode, and I'm going to give it an A. So I really liked it. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Emily. I thought it was super cute, too.
It was super cute.
Oh, kawaii.
Super cute. Really fun episode. Do we have anything else we want to say based on the voicemail? I mean, I feel like we covered a lot of it. Once in a while, I'm like, could we just, like...
Do the voicemails first?
Yeah, like, use the emails as our framework.
Just splice voicemails and emails together and, like, make, like, a Microsoft Sam mixed together thing.
What are you trying to say right now?
Like, we don't even record. We just steal everybody else's ideas.
That reminds me of I was saying, people were talking about, like, oh, is there going to be a Halloween episode this year? And someone was like, well, I wonder if there'll be a World of Terror 3.
No.
And I was like, if there is, you know, I'm going to set Nan and Amanda up on Skype together, and they can just do it without us.
I'm okay with that.
It depends how it goes.
It'll be World of Terror 3, Keith. There's only one way it can go, and that's downhill to hell.
Downhill to hell. All right, so wrapping
that's how it's called, World of Terror 3, Downhill to Hell.
So wrapping up, August if revenge. You want to be on our mail time, you can email us at gmwpodcast@gmail.com.
And we know you do.
And you can send us a voice memo around 2 minutes. It would be swell. And check us out on Twitter @GMWPodcast. That's all good stuff there.
Rate us on iTunes.
Yes, ratings and reviews would be much appreciated, especially if they're nicer than the ones we've been getting. And check us out on Google Play and Stitcher, especially if you're an Android user. Check out GMWPodcast.com for some guest blog entries. Also, we did a YouTube video.
We really did.
For realsies. So check that out at GMW Podcast on YouTube.
I hope maybe you all like our more new looks. To come.
All right. Yeah. We actually have plans for YouTube. That's like, we want to be all about the YouTube in the future. So you'll see.
And maybe tweet in weird YouTube video ideas you have, and we'll see if we can do them.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Not.
Definitely ideas.
We'll credit you.
For how we can adapt the influence of Gourmet's World to the just Kagawi experience. I know how I was putting it. Like what?
Kagawi Nation.
What like, do you want to see, Kagawers?
Things, either scenes that you want to see acted out, ideas that you want to talk, even serious ideas that you want us to do, like a mini episode video on.
Yeah, so yeah, we were talking about maybe doing like 10 to 15 minute YouTube videos that are like mini podcasts where we talk about like one specific topic. Like we were talking about what we could have done this with when we were talking
the sets,
or when we were talking a few weeks about should it have been a reboot or is it better that it was a sequel?
Yeah.
So if you have cool topics like that, we'll like read that this is your topic and we'll do it. We're trying to brainstorm some ideas that are like quick, like interesting discussions, but just like, but kind of don't fit in a specific episode.
Kick-a-wisodes.
Yeah.
Please message in about how you think the characters in Girl Meets World relate to the characters in Sailor Moon.
Also.
And Pokemon.
Also, I keep forgetting to read the comments that are on the blog, but we've gotten some nice comments on the blog, but someday I will read. Also.
Dan's a bad person.
Also, funny thing, that we're all really bad people that I found the other day.
Oh, jeez.
I found a note on my phone called the Kagawi Cat Contest.
That
which had people sent us in cat pictures.
Oh, I feel like a really bad person.
I will say, did we say when the contest closed?
I don't think so.
It closed right now, so sorry guys, you missed the deadline.
I also have like no idea even when that was. I feel like that was like
a why we did that. No, it closes next Friday. Send us in some this week.
Actually,
we'll
know exactly. We'll
do it next weekend.
So here's the thing: the note that I had has links to all the people who sent them to us. Oh. So we actually will know exactly when it was because there'll be a date on the tweets.
Yeah.
But that was a thing. All right, so we should end out. Well, eventually, we'll do the cat video.
Oh my
thing.
God, my heart hurts right now.
Oh boy,
so sorry.
All right, I like this podcast. I like you guys out there. Holly's my favorite this week, and
if you want to be Dan's favorite next week, then write in.
Didn't we have like a tweet of the week for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Why are we so terrible?
Sweeping declaration.
Right. Oh, please, we
from
never
now
hold
on,
up those.
From now on, we're going to have Tweet of the Week.
All right.
And if we don't do Tweet of the Week, tweet at us that we didn't have Tweet of the Week, and you'll be the Tweet of the Week, because you're going to tell us how much we suck.
We have enough people doing that. All right. Thank you.
I want to be liked.
Thank you for listening. Dream.
Keep
Try.
The hate mail coming.
Stop it!
Class dismissed.
Dream.
Try. What? I.
No, stop.
Goodbye, everybody. Class dismissed.
And away we go.
It's.